content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Heard Any Good Books Lately? A program from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. Now, the Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you would like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in the program. This program is all about books, with special emphasis on those available from the North Carolina Library for the Blind. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. And the library has more than 11,000 patrons across the state. And if you're not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information at the end of this program on how you can do that. Each month on the program, we typically look at some of the most popular books checked out during the previous couple of months at the North Carolina Library for the Blind. Well, today we're also going to give you some recommendations about some great new books that are just recently available from the Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. Our first book today is one that has been very popular for the first couple of months of 2019. It is The Reckoning by John Grisham. Here's the summary. October 1946, Clanton, Mississippi. Pete Bannon was Clanton, Mississippi's favorite son, a decorated World War II hero, the patriarch of a prominent family, a farmer, father, neighbor, and a faithful member of the Methodist Church. Then, one cool October morning, he rose early, drove into town, and walked into the church and calmly shot and killed his pastor and friend, the Reverend Dexter Bell. As if the murder weren't shocking enough, it was even more baffling that Pete's only statement about it to the sheriff, to his lawyers, to the judge, to the jury, and to his family was, "I have nothing to say." He was not afraid of death and was willing to take his motive to the grave. In a major novel, unlike anything he has written before, John Grisham takes us on an incredible journey from the Jim Crow South to the jungles of the Philippines during World War II. From an insane asylum filled with secrets to the Clanton courtroom, where Pete's defense attorney tries desperately to save him. Reminiscent of the finest tradition of Southern Gothic storytelling, The Reckoning would not be complete without Grisham's signature layers of legal suspense, and he delivers on every page. It's called The Reckoning by John Grisham. Next, a book called Desperate Measures by Stuart Woods, and this was a top 10 book in both January and February as well. Here's the plot. Upon returning to the States from a European jaunt, Stone Barrington makes the acquaintance of a stunning woman who seems like she could be an ideal candidate to meet some of his professional and personal needs. Before long, though, Stone is put to the task of protecting his new hire when New York City is rocked by a series of disturbing crimes, and it looks as if she might be the next target. In the city that never sleeps, there's always a plot being hatched, and the only recourse is constant vigilance and a bit of luck. But if those defensive systems fail, Stone will have to go head-to-head against some of the most dastardly scum he has ever faced. Again, that book is called Desperate Measures by the very popular author Stuart Woods. Next, let's take a look at another book by popular author J.D. Robb. This one is called Leverage in Death. What would you do if someone broke into your house and threatened you and your family? Your loved ones would be safe only if you let the thugs button you into a vest bomb and send you to blow yourself up, taking with you a number of innocent people. Well, that's what happens to Paul Rogan, and the choice he makes is to go to his Manhattan office and set off the bomb. He and 11 others die, and several more are badly injured. This is how J.D. Robb begins her 47th installment of her in-depth series, which stars New York City Police Department Lieutenant Eve Dallas, her extraordinarily rich husband Rourke, her partner Peabody, and the rest of the regular crew at the cop shop. At the heart of this futuristic novel is the merger of two popular airlines, Quantum Air, which constitutes luxury accommodations, and Econolift, which is cut rate. The world will change if the merger goes through as planned. One of the main players in this high-stakes game is Rogan, Vice President of Marketing at Quantum. He has taken out Derek Pearson, Quantum's president and CEO, and sent Wilhelmina Carson, a mover and shaker at Econo, to the hospital in critical condition. Sounds like a good one. That's Leverage in Death by the popular author J.D. Robb. Now, speaking of popular authors, here's one by Danielle Steele that was very popular at the Library for the Blind the past month or so. This one is called In His Father's Footsteps by Danielle Steele. In this powerful novel, number one New York Times bestselling author Danielle Steele tells the story of two World War II concentration camp survivors, the life they build together, and the son who faces struggles of his own as a first-generation American determined to be his own person and achieve success. When U.S. troops occupied Germany, friends Jacob and Emmanuel are saved from the terrible fate of so many in the camps. With the help of sponsors, they make their way to New York. In order not to be separated, they allow their friendship to blossom into love and marriage, and they start a new life on the Lower East Side, working at grueling, poorly paid jobs. Well, decades later, through talent, faith, fortune, and relentless hard work, Jacob has achieved success in the diamond business, invested in real estate in New York, and shown his son Max that America is truly the land of opportunity. Max is a rising star, a graduate of Harvard with friends among the wealthiest, most ambitious families in the world, and while his parents were thrown together by chance, Max chooses a perfect bride to start the perfect American family. An opulent society wedding, a honeymoon in Tahiti, a palatial home in Greenwich, Max's lavish lifestyle is unimaginable to his cautious old world mother and father. Max wants to follow his father's example and make his own fortune, but after the birth of children and with a failing marriage, he can no longer deny that his wife is not the woman he thought she was. Angry and afraid, Max must do what he has never done before, struggle, persevere, and learn what it means to truly walk in his father's footsteps while pursuing his own ideals and setting an example for his children. Moving from the ashes of post-war Europe to the Lower East Side of New York, to wealth, success, and unlimited luxury, In His Father's Footsteps is a stirring tale of three generations of strong, courageous, and loving people who pay their dues to achieve their goals. Once again, the book is called In His Father's Footsteps by Danielle Steele. This next book we're going to take a look at is another one in a long series of popular books, a Stephanie Plum novel by Janet Ivanovich. This one is called Look Alive 25. Stephanie Plum faces the toughest puzzle of her career in the 25th entry in Janet Ivanovich's number one New York Times best-selling series. There's nothing like a good deli, and the Red River Deli in Trenton is one of the very best. World famous for its pastrami, coleslaw, and for its disappearing managers. Over the last month, three have vanished from the face of the earth, And the only clue in each case is one shoe that's been left behind. The police are baffled. Lula is convinced that it's a case of alien abduction. Well, whatever it is, they better figure out what's going on before they lose their new manager, Ms. Stephanie Plum. Again, it's called Look Alive 25, a Stephanie Plum novel by Janet Ivanovich. Next, a book entitled When We Were Young by Karen Kingsbury. From the number one New York Times bestselling author Karen Kingsbury comes a classic story about second chances featuring the beloved Baxter family and a young father who finds his whole world turned upside down on the eve of his divorce. What if you could see into the future and know what will happen tomorrow? If you really walk out that door today, pay attention. Life is not a dress rehearsal. Well, from their first meeting to their stunning engagement and lavish wedding to their happily ever after, Noah and Emily Carter were meant to be together. Theirs is a special kind of love, and they want the world to know about it. More than a million adoring fans have followed their lives on Instagram since the day Noah publicly proposed to Emily. But behind the carefully staged photos and the encouraging posts, their life is anything but a fairy tale, and Noah's obsession with social media has ruined everything. Distraught, Emily reaches out to their friend Carrie Baxter Taylor and tells her the truth. Noah and Emily have decided to call it quits. He is leaving in the morning. But when Noah wakes the next day, everything is different. Emily is gone, and the kids are years older. Like Scrooge in A Christmas Carol, bizarre and strange events continue throughout the night, so that Noah is certain he's 20 years older and he is desperate for a second chance. Now it would take a miracle to return to yesterday. When We Were Young is a rare and beautiful love story that takes place in a single day. It's about the gift of knowing what tomorrow will bring if you really walk out that door today. That sounds like a very interesting plot, a little bit like the Christmas Carol and Scrooge, huh? It's called When We Were Young by Karen Kingsbury. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. Thanks for joining me today. Hope you're enjoying the program. Now let's take a look at a book by James Patterson, always a popular author here. This one is called Ambush, and it is a Michael Bennett thriller. Only Detective Michael Bennett stands in the way of two lethal cartels fighting for New York City's multi-million-dollar opioid trade, and they know where Bennett and his family live. An anonymous tip about a crime in Upper Manhattan proves to be a setup. An officer is taken down, and despite the attacker's efforts, it's not Michael Bennett. New York's top cop is not the only one at risk. One of Bennett's children sustains a mysterious injury, and a series of murders follows, each with a distinct signature, alerting Bennett to the presence of a professional killer with a flair for disguise. Bennett taps his best investigators and sources, and they fan out across the five boroughs. But the leads they're chasing turn out to be phantoms. The assassin takes advantage of the chaos, enticing an officer into compromising Bennett, then luring another member of Bennett's family into even graver danger. Michael Bennett can't tell what's driving the assassin, but he can tell it's personal, and that it's part of something huge. Through twist after twist, he fights to understand exactly how he fits into the killer's plan before he becomes the ultimate victim. Again, that's called Ambush by James Patterson, a Michael Bennett thriller. Our next book on the program today from Nora Roberts comes the number one New York Times bestseller, Shelter in Place. It was written and published in June of 2018, a powerful tale of heart, heroism, and propulsive suspense. It was a typical evening at a mall outside Portland, Maine. Three teenage friends waited for the movie to start. A boy flirted with a girl selling sunglasses. Mothers and children shopped together, and the manager at the video game store tending to customers. Then the shooters arrived. The chaos and carnage lasted only 8 minutes before the killers were taken down. But for those who lived through it, the effects would last forever. In the years that followed, one would dedicate himself to a law enforcement career. Another would close herself off, trying to bury the memory of huddling in a ladies' room, hopelessly clutching her cell phone, until she finally found a way to pour her emotions into her art. But one person wasn't satisfied with the shockingly high death toll at the Down East Mall. And as the survivors slowly heal, find shelter, and rebuild, they will discover that another conspirator is lying in wait, and this time there might be nowhere safe to hide. Sounds like another great mystery from Nora Roberts, doesn't it? It's called Shelter in Place, relatively new, by the great author Nora Roberts. Now here's one by Nicholas Sparks. This one is called Every Breath. In the romantic tradition of The Notebook and Nights in Rodante, number one New York Times bestselling author Nicholas Sparks returns with a story about a chance encounter that becomes a touchstone for two vastly different individuals, transcending decades, continents, and the bittersweet workings of fate. Hope Anderson is at a crossroads. At the age of 36, she's been dating her boyfriend, an orthopedic surgeon, for 6 years. With no wedding plans in sight and her father recently diagnosed with ALS, she decides to use a week at her family's cottage in Sunset Beach, North Carolina, to ready the house for sale and mull over some difficult decisions about her future. True Walls has never visited North Carolina, but is summoned to Sunset Beach by a letter from a man claiming to be his father. A safari guide born and raised in Zimbabwe, True, which is spelled T-R-U, by the way, hopes to unravel some of the mysteries surrounding his mother's early life and recapture memories lost with her death. When the two strangers cross paths, their connection is as electric as it is unfathomable. But in the immersive days that follow, their feelings for each other will give way to choices that pit family duty against personal happiness in devastating ways. Illuminating life's heartbreaking regrets and enduring hope, Every Breath explores the many facets of love that lay claim to our deepest loyalties and ask the question, how long can a dream survive? Another great romantic novel by Nicholas Sparks, that's called Every Breath. I mentioned at the beginning of our program today that in addition to summarizing some of the most popular books in the last couple of months at the Library for the Blind, we also would take a look at a few new books that are now available. And I thought I'd give you a summary of a couple of those. The first one I'd like to talk about is one called Paradise of Glass by Petra Dernst Benning. Joanna, the oldest of the three Steinman sisters, has successfully managed the family glassblowing business since her father's death, and her sister Marie's artistic gifts have made their wares unexpectedly famous. But now the livelihood of the town of Lautche, Germany, known around the world as the Paradise of Glass, is in danger. The local glassworks is about to be sold, and rumor has it the buyer wants to make changes that will challenge glass-blowing tradition. Now, Wanda, the daughter of the middle Steinman sister, is freshly arrived from America and engaged to an ambitious local glassblower. Yet as soon as the bold young woman learns of the impending sale, she decides to do as her mother and aunts did, cast aside her expected role in order to save the day. With the help of a handsome bank clerk, she will take a daring risk with the villagers' hard-earned money. Just like glass, though love and commerce are fragile, and what begins as their last hope may just end in shattered dreams. A new book now available at the North Carolina Library for the Blind, The Paradise of Glass by Petra Durst Benning. Here's another one by popular author W.E.B. Griffin. This one is called Death at Nuremberg, The Enemy of My Enemy. Here's the plot for this one. Special Agent James Cronley Jr. finds that fighting both ex-Nazis and the Soviet NKGB can lead to strange bedfellows. In the dramatic new clandestine operations novel about the birth of the CIA and the Cold War. A month ago, Cronley managed to capture two notorious Nazi war criminals, but not without leaving some dead bodies and outraged Austrian police in his wake. He's been lying low ever since, but that little vacation is about to end. Somebody, Odessa, the NKGB, the Hungarian secret police, somebody has broken the criminals out of jail, and he must track them down again. But there's more to it than that. Evidence has surfaced that in the war's last gasps, Heinrich Himmler had stashed away a fortune to build a secret religion dedicated both to Himmler and to creating the Fourth Reich. And that money is still out there in the hands of Odessa. And that infamous organization seems to have acquired a surprising and troubling ally. Cronley is fast finding out that the phrase, "the enemy of my enemy is my friend," can mean a lot of different things, and that it is not always clear which people he can trust and which are out to kill him. Again, that's called Death at Nuremberg, The Enemy of My Enemy by W.E.B. Griffin, a new book at the North Carolina Library for the Blind. And we don't have time to report on all of them, but some of the other new books that are out in the fiction category include Tear It Down by Nick Petrie, Room on the Porch Swing by Amy Clipston, and On Her Majesty's Frightfully Secret Service by Rice Bowen. And in the nonfiction category, several good books, too. One is called Great War in America, World War I and Its Aftermath by Garrett Peck. Another one, White House Doctor, My Patients Were Presidents, a memoir by Connie Mariano. Sounds kind of interesting. Man in the Glass House, Philip Johnson, Architect of the Modern Century, by Mark Lamster. And another one that's in the nonfiction category is called Hero Dogs, How a Pack of Rescues, Rejects, and Strays Became America's Greatest Disaster Search Partners, by Wilma Melville. If you're a big fan of dogs and you like stories about them, that might be a good one. And then there's one I want to give you a little bit of the plot about. It's called Bill Monroe, The Life and Music of the Bluegrass Man Himself, by Tom Ewing. Here's a little bit of the summary from that. A bandmate recalls the life of Bill Monroe. He lived from 1911 to 1996, perhaps the best-known popularizer of bluegrass in American musical history. Guitar, mandolin, banjo, stand-up bass, and a high, lonesome yowl. Those are the classical elements of bluegrass, codified by the man from Kentucky. As so often happened, that highly stylized variant of country music was the product of the big city, courtesy of a Chicago-based radio program that propelled Monroe to early fame. Ewing, who was the editor of the Bill Monroe Reader in year 2000, who played guitar with Monroe for a decade, serves up a deep dish version of bluegrass history that is not for the uninitiated. He writes in a typical passage of an influential forerunner of Monroe's who owned and played a Snakehead A4, but who usually picked a mandola or a tenor banjo, and whose musicianship and style had a definite impact on Bill. Now, if you don't know that a Snakehead A4 was a kind of a mandolin made by Gibson in the 20s, well, then you'll be forgiven for being a little bit lost here, but this is the kind of book whose readers will have command over the bluegrass arsenal. Without saying as much, the author shows how Monroe pioneered the festival circuit, jump-starting the famed Brown County Jamboree in Indiana. Though a purist in many ways, Monroe was also a pioneer of modern technology, perhaps the first major bluegrass musician to record digitally. Ewing, the author, also offers casual, unlabored portraits of other key players in the bluegrass scene who admired one another while nursing deeply competitive streaks, as when Monroe expressed some pique when the music magazine Sing Out dubbed Earl Scruggs the undisputed master of bluegrass. Well, that's Monroe. That Monroe is a household name among roots-oriented country fans, speaks to his endless touring, recording, and self-promotion, helped along by a battery of very fine players. Fans of bluegrass and old-school country will enjoy this behind-the-scenes look at Monroe's storied career. Again, the book is called Bill Monroe, The Life and Music of the Bluegrass Man by Tom Ewing. And I've got time to squeeze in one more popular book during the last month or so, The Brothers O'Brien by William W. Johnstone. Now, this is a very popular series. Books 1 through 3 were among the most popular during the last month at the North Carolina Library for the Blind. From William Johnstone, the master of the epic Western, comes a bold new series set in the harsh, untamed New Mexico territory where 4 brave-hearted brothers struggle to work the land, keep the peace, and fight for the dream of America. The war between the states has ended, now driven from Texas by carpetbaggers. Former CSA Colonel Seamus O'Brien sets off for a new frontier, New Mexico. Here, where land is cheap, bandits shoot to kill, and rustlers rule the night, it takes more than one man to run a ranch. So he offers a partnership to his eldest son, Jacob, with equal shares going to his sons, Sam, Patrick, and Sean. Together, the brothers O'Brien will defend their homestead, the Dromore, in this violent, lawless land, and when necessary, administer their own brand of frontier justice. It's a good one. The series is called The Brothers O'Brien by William W. Johnstone. And that's all for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately. I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed the program today. If you'd like more information about how to become a patron of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, simply Google or search for North Carolina Library for the Blind or call toll-free at 888-388-2460. You can also use the same numbers and website to join the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. It's that wonderful organization that sponsors this monthly feature on books. This program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time.